Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever. So far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually.
That's right, MC. You look like you're going to fall asleep in the middle of this recording. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not even joking. Moments ago, relaxing, listening to an audiobook, and I'm like, hey, I thought I was supposed to get a notification telling me that we're supposed to be recording and I'm supposed to get up. And I roll over and I look at my phone and it's like nothing's popped up. And then all of a sudden I get a message from Troy with just my name. And I'm like, yep. it was like as soon as I touched my phone, that message popped. I'm like,
oh, that's weird.
It's 20 minutes late, but okay.
MC, you've turned into a cyborg. You are part machine now. You've left up all your scheduling parts of your brain have been exported to your phone.
Yeah, I can't keep track of all my things now, so I need my calendar to be like, hey, it's this time.
Hey, dummy, you have things you're supposed to do. Dude, I'm the same way. I don't ever know what's going on. MC, we are here to talk about X-Men Episode 2, Night of the Sentinels Part 2. But first,
correct.
I watched Pride of the X-Men, which you may remember was the 1989 pilot that did not get picked up for a series.
Yes.
Which is the basis for the X-Men arcade game. So, couple things about Pride of the X-Men. First of all, it's absolutely the basis for the X-Men arcade game. Like as soon as it started, I was like, oh, yep, there's Cyclops' weird costume where he doesn't have any sort of a bandolier going across. He's just got a blue torso. What's his name? Wolverine. He's wearing the brown suit, which is good. I like the brown suit a lot. It's just all the things from the X-Men arcade game that I never noticed weren't quite right before.
Yeah.
It all makes sense now. Interestingly, it came out in 1992. So the arcade game actually came out the same year that this new series first premiered, but it's based on a different series. It's weird.
Weird.
But there's another thing that's important about it, which I just sent you a message on Discord if you could pull that up for me, please.
Okay, I'm guessing this is the theme song?
These are lyrics to the theme song, because Pride of the X-Men has lyrics to the theme song.
Yeah,
it's very bad.
Yeah.
No place to hide, no place to run. The mutant age has now begun. X-Men, this today. X-Men, coming your way. Magneto's hordes are on their way to pillage, burn, and plunder. But there's one team that will not yield, the team that strikes like thunder. X-Men, this today. X-Men, coming your way.
Yeah, really bad.
I'm so glad that they got rid of the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, it's pretty much the X-Men animated series. Like, the animation style in general is pretty similar. Professor Xavier is nicer in Pride of the X-Men. That's a big difference.
I think if it wasn't visually the same, I don't think people would have mistaken, like, the arcade game.
Right.
For this series, anyway.
Yeah.
But you can kind of tell, like, yeah, X-Men is supposed to look like this.
The biggest change for me is that the X-Mansion is not very cool in Pride of the X-Men. Like, Cerebro is just, like, a wall of computer screens and it just doesn't look as neat. Like, the design of the interior of the X-Mansion is not nearly as cool. But other than that, I don't know, like, what the big problem with it was. I mean, it pretty much looks like an X-Men cartoon. If you remember, I did say that one of the things that the producers didn't like about it was Wolverine's Australian accent. And I was like, I mean, I guess that's a little weird. He's supposed to be Canadian. Holy smokes. Wolverine's Australian accent is the, like, most over-the-top stereotypical Australian accent I've ever heard. Like, he does not sound like an Australian. He sounds like somebody trying to be like, "What's up, Governor Shrimp on the Barbie, Australia Kangaroo Boomerang?" And it's like, why? Why are you doing this? Like, I thought they just cast an Australian in the role. No.
Okay, I gotta say, there's a lot of, like, voice actors who have that accent. Like, the really... Like, the other one that comes to mind is Jace from the Ginyu Force from Dragon Ball Z.
Yes, yeah.
Like, I'm not sure if that guy's Australian or not, but he puts on, like, the full-on Kooey Cobber Digger Mate accent there.
He can't be actually Australian, right? It can't be.
I don't know, but I freaking love Jace because his accent's ridiculous.
Well, if Pride of in the alternate timeline where Pride of the X-Men got picked up in 1989, we all love Australian. You know what? In that timeline, Hugh Jackman just did his normal accent when he played Wolverine in the movies. He still got cast, but he just did his normal accent.
Yeah, so it's so weird hearing his voice, like, hearing his, like, actual voice after he's been playing Wolverine. Like, you watch all, like, the Wolverine stuff and you're like, okay, he just sounds normal. And then you hear his voice outside of the movie and it's, like, the slight Australian accent and you're like, oh, yeah, I forget, he's Australian.
You know what the weirdest one is for that, for me?
What?
Freaking Tom Holland. Spider-Man?
He's
super
British.
Yeah. He's so British. It's adorable.
And he does a full-on Queens accent.
Yeah, his accent... Brooklyn. Queens. Queens is Spider-Man, Brooklyn is Captain America. You had it right.
Correct.
My bad. It's still early for me, MC. And it's late for you, which is why we've got to get into X-Men Animated Series Episode 2, Night of the Sentinels, Part 2, right after these messages.
And we're back.
The story so far, MC, Jubilee has been taken. Let's see. The X-Men are trying to break into the Mutant Control Agency to erase their database because they're like, hey, if, like, the Mutant Control Agency is somehow connected to these giant evil killer robots, we should probably do something about that. And the X-Men, oh, man, they're inside the building. They're about to go through a door, but it's a trap. It's a trap. Behind that door is a bunch of ginger soldiers.
Yeah. What's really weird about this whole thing is last time we speculated that maybe they would be picking up all the mutants at once, but it really does seem like they've only gone and got Jubilee.
Yeah, we find that out when we cut to Trask. So in the Mutant Control Agency, basically Wolverine smells the gun oil. He knows it's a trap. Fight scene happens.
Yeah, Storm blows all the soldiers down the hallway.
Mm-hmm. And then they basically just go into all-out attack mode. They get into the database room. And Beast, listen, okay, I like Beast a lot. But in this one, he, like, quotes poetry and stuff all the time in a really weird way. And, like, tries to make rhymes. And so... they're like,
yeah,
we need to delete all the files, and he's like, ah, I'll do it with my feminine wiles or whatever. It's just he's weird with his little rhymes and stuff.
Okay, so it's really weird because I remember Beast being really smart as a kid, but now I'm just thinking maybe Beast is kid smart. Like, he seems smart to kids.
Oh, he says really profound things all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's what it was. She goes, we need to get rid of all the information on the computer. And he goes, it'll be my pleasure. No mutant name shall remain. Ah, it's a rhyme. Do you get it? Yeah. Anyway, then they're like, there's also hard copies. We gotta break them or cut up the hard copies. And Wolverine's like, I'll shred them. And I'm like, whoa, Wolverine, you're really into shredding paper. I guess, I mean, when you've got the claws for it, but like,
oh, yeah.
How excited can you get about shredding paper? And then we cut to, Gygrich?
I can't pronounce his name.
Not Trask. I thought it was Chast.
Yeah.
But
no.
It's not. Gyrich, the guy in charge of the Mutant Control Agency, has Jubilee tied on a table and is, like, interrogating her about who the X-Men are and stuff. And then Trask comes in, and Trask is like, why is there a mutant? Hey, Gyrich, why do you have a little girl tied up on a table? And he's like, the Sentinels kidnapped her. And he's like, I thought we weren't going to do that until we had 100 Sentinels. And he's like, well, you build them too slow. And so that's Jubilee was the first mutant taken by a Sentinel. He says she was a test.
I was like, okay, weird. That you would only just send out like a couple of Sentinels or the first Sentinel off the line to go get this one mutant. Like, why Jubilee? And
he says
that was
random.
Kind of a mistake, as far as I can tell, because she's in the town full of mutants. And now all the mutants know about the Sentinels coming after them.
You know, that's curious to me, because like we see like Cyclops has the full X-Men uniform and everything. Is this, I mean, I guess we must take it as this is like the first fight of the X-Men was rescuing Jubilee from the Sentinels, right?
Oh, yeah.
They've been in training at Xavier's mansion, but I don't think they've gone into combat before.
Or if they're doing stuff, I don't think it's like being very public.
So we cut back to
another fight scene.
To the fight scene, yeah. They're kind of breaking. Basically, this is the process of them getting out of the Mutant Control Agency. So outside, you've got like Rogue and Gambit and Cyclops are dealing with. Oh, and Morph are dealing with the guards outside the building, and inside you've got Storm and Wolverine working on the inside with Beast.
No, Morph's on the inside. I'm pretty sure he's burning stuff.
Oh, you're right. He was part of the break-in crew because it was Storm and three X-Men, and the three X-Men were Beast, Wolverine, and Morph.
And I'm pretty sure earlier Morph locked some guys in a room by pretending to be one of their bosses or something.
Yeah, he did. He like, I mean, that's his thing. Morph's thing is he's basically Mystique, like same power set. He can just change his appearance. Great guy, Morph. Oh, beloved character. We all love Morph so much. And then they're running away. They get out of the building and they're all running away. And Morph's like, just like I said, clear sailing. And then Sentinel appears and Morph has to push Wolverine out of the way to save him. And then,
wait. So, there is one thing during this whole scene where, Cyclops finally gets to do a cool thing, and he's just blowing everything up.
Yeah.
That tower that he knocks over.
Mm-hmm. Knocks over a guard tower.
Yeah. Clearly there's people in there, and with how high that up it is up, and the rubble that is going to get caused by knocking the top of it off, are those people going to survive?
At least... So they talk about no humans can be hurt in this process, and Rogue does catch one of those guys falling down, which I think is supposed to signal to us that he was the only one in danger of falling. And it's good because she catches him when he's falling, and the guy's like, put me down, you flying freak! And she's like, okay, sugar! And, like, just face plants him into the mud, which, like, yeah, good job, Rogue. So I think we have to take it that no humans died in this process.
Okay, and then Gambit opens up the gate. Like a boss.
Yep.
Because Gambit's the best.
Yeah. So then they're all running away. And there's Sentinels. And Worf is like, Wolverine, you got to get out of there. And then hard cut to the mansion where Jean Grey is using the Cerebro helmet to monitor the situation. And she's like, ah, oh, God, Worf. And then the team arrives back. We've like jumped forward and the team's flying back. And Cyclops is like, listen, Wolverine, I know you're upset. And Wolverine just punches him in the gut. And it's like, what happened? And it turns out that Beast and Morph got left behind.
Yeah.
And they're like, Wolverine's like, we should have gone back for him, Jean. Your dumb boyfriend is a like wussy and he didn't save him. And they could still be alive. And she's like, well, one of them is. Beast is still alive.
Well, she says that she can feel Beast still, but not Morph.
That's
which doesn't imply that he's dead, that she just doesn't know where he is.
But I mean, still, she's Jean Morph. Grey. If Jean Grey can't tell where you are, you're probably dead.
Yeah.
Probably. MC, when we recorded episode 1, had you watched episode 2?
No.
I hadn't either, and I was thinking when I watched episode 1, I was like, oh, I forgot about Morph. I forgot about this guy. Look at this guy. Look at this X-Men, Morph. I just have a vague memory of Morph, but I don't really remember him too much, but I'm sure he'll become one of our favorite characters over the course of this series. No.
I could tell you what happens with Morph.
Oh, wait, is he not gone? MC, spoiler zone, what happens with Morph?
So essentially, he feels like, because of this instance, the X-Men didn't look hard enough for him, and that they betrayed him, and he sort of turns to Magneto's side.
Oh my gosh. Wow, I had no idea. Posing as a priest, he performed a fake wedding for Cyclops and Jean Grey, luring the couple to an uninhabited island for their honeymoon, where they were ambushed by Mr. Sinister and the Nasty Boys.
There you go.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. I legitimately thought he was dead.
Nope.
Wow. Okay, so there's a couple layers here. First of all, super cool for that to come back up again. But second of all, as far as this episode's concerned, he's dead, as far as like what you see as a viewer.
Yep.
And that's crazy that like, if they killed him off in the first episode, I'd feel like it was just like setting up the world. But killing him in the second episode is intense because like you literally are like, all right, here's our X-Men. Here's the team. It's Cyclops and Gambit and Rogue and Jean Grey and Storm and Wolverine and Beast and Morph. And then in the second episode, it's like, yeah, but what if one of them died? And like, hey, cartoon, we're little kids over here, okay? You just take it down a notch. Like, I cared more about Wolverine than I cared about the genocide at the beginning of Gargoyles. Because you got to know this character. And then they just freaking kill him.
I just want to point out, me and Troy are both not children. But his point still stands.
When I watch X-Men the Animated Series, I am a child again, MC.
But yeah, so we get like...
This is where it flashes back because like we're still like, what, wait, what happened? Like I was watching this and I literally, my notes are like, wait, is Morph dead? Because like, it doesn't really show you that outright. And then Wolverine gets pissed. He goes out to the garage and sees Scott Summers, like red Camry. And I said that with such disdain.
He turns
it
into
Camry.
A convertible, doesn't he?
Yeah, he cuts the top off the Camry, and then Jean comes out and he's like, tell Cyclops I made him a convertible. And you're like, wow. Wow, Wolverine.
Listen, yeah.
Sometimes you're really cool, but sometimes you're not very cool, because that was not a cool line. And then we flash back and we see the rest of the fight scene, and we see Beast get stuck and Morph get left behind and all that.
Yeah, Beast gets flung into the electrified fence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Morph just gets, like, hit with the laser beam trying to protect Wolverine. And I'm pretty sure Rogue gets shot out of the sky as well.
But she makes it back to the Blackbird, and Wolverine's like, I on the Blackbird, like, we gotta go save him. And Cyclops is like, no, I'm making the command decision, we're not going back. And Rogue takes her glove off and saps enough of Wolverine's power to knock him out. And so that's why Wolverine's so pissed, because he wanted to go save him and Cyclops wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
And before she knocks him out, Cyclops is like, hey, I made a decision. We're running away. And Wolverine's like, I go where I want to go. And again, like, Wolverine, that's not actually a very cool line. I know you think it is, but...
Well, he says that in the first episode as well.
Oh, did he say it in the first one? I didn't notice that, because he says it twice in this one.
So, in the last episode, he said it when everyone was going to this mission, I think it was. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go find Jubilee. And Cyclops is like, we're doing this mission. And he's like, I go where I want.
So basically, every time that Wolverine says, I go where I want, what it actually means is that he doesn't go where he wants.
I guess.
So then we get the newscast from the president.
Well, first we get that scene where Wolverine comes back from remembering what happened, and he's sitting on the cliff and he's all sad and he pulls out his claws like he's all pissed off.
Yeah. He's like, I will avenge you. I'll form some sort of a team that will avenge people. We'll call ourselves the people who get avengement for people.
The Revengers.
The Revengers. Oh, God. Can we just go watch Thor Ragnarok instead? So the president's like, hey, yeah, we do have a robot police force. It's pretty cool. They're called Sentinels. Anyway, goodbye. And we see that this news report's being watched in a bar by Wolverine. And okay, I don't know if this is just the copy of this that I was watching, but was the, like, big biker tough guy's voice, like, really not very tough? Did he kind of sound a little bit like this? Like, get out of here, furball. Not quite much.
I think so, but,
it just wasn't the tough guy voice I expected.
No. And we also had a scene with, Beast in his cell.
Mm-hmm.
During, like, in between those two scenes with Wolverine, I think.
That's true. And it's basically just, hey, Beast is alive, and he's being...
captured.
Yeah, he's captured, and he's with Gyrich and the Sentinels. So Wolverine starts to get into a fight with these guys, because they're like, mutant freak, get out of here! We don't want you in our cool pool hall! And then Cyclops shows up. And they call him Four Eyes, and he's like, you wouldn't hit a man with glasses. And the guy, like, pokes his glasses off with a pool cue, which seems really dangerous. As a person with glasses, please don't poke a pool cue into my eye holes in order to get the glasses off my face, or I will blast you with psionic eye beams.
Well, yeah, he doesn't blast them with psionic eye beams. He, blasts the table. But, yeah. There's, a symbol, on one of the biker dudes that I think keeps popping up later. It's the black circle with the red, like, eagle or something on it.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. It looks like he's got a tattoo of it, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's, like, the Anti-Mutant League or whatever symbol.
Oh, I didn't know that. It kind of almost looks like a proto-shield symbol.
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's see. Oh, right. So Scott's like, hey, you need to come with me. And Logan's like, nah, I go where I want to go. And Scott's like, but we can go get the Sentinels. And he's like, that's where I want to go. And so that's what they do.
Yeah.
Cut to Madam President. And Gyrich comes into the room and Madam President's on an exercise bike. And she's like, hey, good job. Your Sentinels worked really well. Now shut the whole program down, you dummy. And he's like, what? And she's like, dude, clearly people are worried about this. Like, these mutants were willing to risk their whole lives to... Is there a reason they should be threatened by you, Gyrich? Are you a crazy person who wants to kill all the mutants? And he's like, no. And she's
maybe,
like, okay, shut it all down. You're acting very guilty. And in season,
so what if I do miss president?
I'm just gonna take my robot to Canada, huh? What about that? Canada. Which is what he does, because he's like, we're going international. But he gets a phone call from Jubilee's dad because Scott Summers is there, and Jubilee's dad is like, he's here, the mutants are here. And then he goes and talks to Cyclops, and Cyclops is like, people fear what they don't understand in the most boring milquetoast way. And Jubilee's dad is like, hey, so you should probably go because I definitely called the popo on you. And now that you've told me that people fear what they don't understand, I've had a complete change in heart, apparently. And so you should run away now because they're coming. Which is weird. He just changes his mind so quickly.
Well, I think because that he realizes, like, hey, not all mutants are, like, scary people.
Yeah, he seems to decide that very quickly. Like, it's like 12 seconds from when he's like, they're here, come and get these scary mutants, to when he's like, aw, dude, am I racist? Aw, shoot, I didn't realize it. you should go.
Oh, imagine being, like, so casually racist, and then someone calls you on it, and you're like, oh, shit, dude, was I racist
this whole time? Oh, my God. My bad.
That's
my bad,
essentially
everybody.
His reaction.
Yeah. I wish for a world. If I had a lamp, that's what I would wish for. I would wish for racist people to be able to realize that they're racist and just go like, ah, my B. Sorry, everybody. That was how I was raised, but now I know, and I'll stop. And anyway,
oh, yeah.
The Popo are on their way. You should run away.
Yeah, the Sentinel arrives, and pretty much Scott turns around because he's Scott at the moment. He's not in his outfit.
Yeah.
And the Sentinel's like, halt, mutant, or something like that. And he turns around, like, and blasts its arm off.
No, he doesn't, MC. Because first he goes, if you say so, as if, or something dumb like that. Like, he puts in a, like, not, like, Scott, you're not cool. Stop trying
to
be
cool. No, he's not. No, he's really not. And it's kind of obvious. And he is Bob Beige Man. As we all know.
Beige Man.
Yeah. Oh, man. He's such...
MC, every episode of our show, I use a screenshot of the episode in order to make the album art for the show. Can I have your permission, just this one time, to Photoshop the screenshot I use so that it's Cyclops, like, standing in his costume trying to look cool, but I'm just going to make his whole costume beige?
Yes.
Okay.
It's completely fine.
That's going to be the episode art for this one. If your podcast player doesn't show you the episode art, be sure to follow us on Instagram. It's at BaseSFcast, and you can see Beige Man.
But yeah, essentially, the X-Men show up. They chase off the Sentinel and follow it.
No, because he blasted its arm off, the Sentinel's like, I've been damaged, returning to base for repairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Very stealthily. No one will be able to follow this 87-foot-tall robot flying through the sky with jet boots. And they follow it, because of course they do.
And then we get a really cool scene.
With jet boots.
We get a really cool scene now of Fisk with his assembly line. And
Trask.
The Sentinels get... Trask.
Fisk is in Spider-Man.
Yeah. but essentially, we get, like, the Sentinels getting made. And it's, like, kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see inside their heads before they get all their parts put on. oh, yeah, right. And then the broken Sentinel falls in through the skylight.
This is where Guy Ritchie is like, we're going international. We're going to go to Canada for our robot building purposes. And Trask is basically just seems like, all right, I guess that's fine. But when the Sentinel crashes through, that disrupts the power. And Jubilee is able to escape. And she puts her glasses on and we get like full on Jubilee shooting lights out of her hands and stuff. Hey, MC.
Yeah?
Do you, Do you know the X-Men Dazzler?
I know of Dazzler. I don't know Dazzler. Wasn't Dazzler in the other show?
Yeah, she was. She's one of the X-Men and part of the X-Men. And her powers are basically Jubilee's powers, except for hers are sound-based, I guess. So she hears sound and then can transform it into energy blasts. But, it's kind of similar. Jubilee, I think, was made just for this show.
Jubilee was made just for this show. And her powers are essentially fireworks.
Yep.
They're mini explosions.
Yep. And so she starts breaking herself out. And then there's all these sentinels. And then the X-Men show up. And they do a super good job of fighting everybody.
And Gambit gets a hug.
And he's like, oh, mon ami, mon chéri, mon petit.
Yeah. He keeps calling her petit.
It means little, right?
Yeah.
It's really kind of cute. Petit. It's a cool fight scene where the X-Men beat the crap out of a bunch of Sentinels. It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. My favorite bit in this is where Storm flies out of the skylight that the Sentinel broke earlier and then hits another one with, like, a lightning bolt when it chases her.
Storm is very good. I like Storm a lot. And then cut back to Jubilee's parents, and she's giving them hugs, and she's like, I like y'all very much, you're very cool, but I need to learn how to control my mutant powers, so I'm gonna go hang out at the X mansion. And then we get a denouement with Cyclops and Jean Grey, where Cyclops is like, hey, someone died under my command, I think, and I'm pretty upset about that. And Jean Grey's like, hey, listen, you just do the best you can. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
All you can be is the best that you can be.
Yeah, she gives him, like, a motivational speak because Morph died.
Mm-hmm. It's sad. I did not know that Morph came back. I had no idea.
No,
that's
why you remember him so much. It's because he returns later on.
No, I legitimately don't remember him so much. That's the problem.
You don't?
No. Oh. Like, when he showed up in the first episode, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy, but... MC, I'm on the marvelanimated.fandom.com wikia, and I just want to read you a note from the trivia.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, there's a lot of good notes here. One, the top card Gambit plays with before the armored vehicles show up is the Ace of Spades.
It's always the Ace of Spades, whenever he's playing with a card.
But then it has more details. Gambit throws the Five of Diamonds at three guards. Gambit throws the Ace of Spades to open the fence.
Yep.
Scott's car had a sunroof. That's not trivia. That's
just
banal observations.
About things, like, going on. Yeah. We can all observe that stuff.
The Pool Thug has a Freemasonry logo on his belt buckle, not the logo we were looking at before. No. Let's see. The cards that rain down on the Sentinel include the Three of Hearts, Two of Diamonds, Four of Diamonds, Two of Hearts, and Ace of Hearts. I don't know why they have this. The license plate for Jubilee's taxi is 5052 space 4. That's a good piece of trivia. I'm so happy to know that. But here's the one that I thought was great. Here's the great piece of trivia, MC. Morph would probably have lived if he remembered that Wolverine could heal himself and the blast wouldn't have killed him. What shade?
That's completely true. Morph, you're an idiot.
It is true, but it's like, man, he just died. Don't throw so much shade on it.
Yeah, it's essentially like, hey, you just watched episode 2 and Morph dies. Yeah, he's an idiot. Wolverine has this amazing healing effect. It's like his most powerful ability. Yeah, those metal claws, that they're only there because he can heal himself.
Right? Oh my gosh, I have to read you some stuff about continuity here. I love this wikia. It's great. Okay, continuity. First appearance of Cerebro. Okay. First time the Sentinels are given a name. First time Gambit says mon ami. But then here's one. First appearance of the garage, Wolverine's Jeep and Cyclops' car. I mean, I guess that counts as continuity. First mention of adamantium, sure. First death, apparently only a little bit. But then here's a good one. First flashback. Why is that? Why?
I am guessing that there might be a few more in X-Men, especially when you start dealing with Cable.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Well, because Cable's story is all over the place. Yeah. Beast did not get saved in this episode, did he?
Because no, I don't think he did.
I'm reading about continuity here, and it says Beast is arrested and put in prison. He will be put on trial throughout the first season. That's kind of cool. Oh, man. First appearance of the president, an unnamed woman. She would remain so until Robert Kelly was elected at the end of the season. Spoilies.
Wait, she's just a known woman?
Yeah, the female president does not get a name.
Okay.
Okay, and then here's the final piece of continuity trivia that I have to share with you. Jubilee mentions eating chili fries. She was seen eating chili fries in the arcade in Night of the Sentinels Part 1. So, when she said, does a mall rat eat chili fries? That was true, because she does eat chili fries.
I don't remember the chili fries.
Morph was created specifically for the series. In fact, he was designed specifically to be killed off in order to show how serious the show was. That's pretty cool.
Not actually dead.
The president, whose name was never revealed, appears to be based on Hillary Clinton. Incidentally, she ran for president in 2008
and 2016. That's not true at all.
She doesn't look like Hillary Clinton to me.
No, well, also, she's not evil enough.
What? Wait, Hillary Clinton's not evil enough?
No, the
Hillary
cartoon
Clinton's
character.
Hillary Clinton's not evil. She's fine.
We
don't need to get this all political, MC.
Hey,
she's than the alternatives that we got. Listen.
Hey, you got those alternatives, and the fact of the matter remains, Hillary Clinton still kind of evil. I'm hoping this next time round, you actually get someone pretty decent.
I'm hoping so. We need it. we're in a bit of a bind right now, so yeah, we need. I like at this point, a potted plant would be fine. An evil potted plant, even I would take.
I didn't mean to bring this all political, but the president who is like, hey, you gotta quit the whole Sentinel thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if it was actually based on Hillary Clinton and the guy just pulled out a briefcase full of money and showed it to her, she would be like, oh, okay, yeah, fine.
Where's this Hillary Clinton hate coming from?
Have you heard some of the stuff about her?
I've heard a lot of stuff about her. I think most of it's BS, but...
Oh, there's some stuff. And you can see it in her face. She is kind of power hungry.
Yeah, if you're going to run for president, you have to be kind of power hungry.
Bernie Sanders, I thank you very much.
What'd you say?
I said Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders is totally power hungry. I want him to have power. I agree with his power hungriness, but he's totally power. They're all power hungry. Listen, it's one of the things. Listen, the president of the United States is one of those jobs where the people who would be best to have that job are not the kind of people who are going to go through the shit you have to go through to get the job. So instead, we end up with people. And I just want to elect an evil potted plant. Can we just elect an evil potted plant to be president? Please. We'll see you next
one with time. A monocle and a mustache.
Oh my gosh. Now I have a different episode art I want to do. We'll see you next time for X-Men, the animated series, season 1, episode 3, which is called Enter the Evil Potted Plant. Or Magneto, one of the two.
I mean, same thing, right?
Yeah, Magneto is the evil potted plant. I'm gonna make a potted plant wearing Magneto's helmet and a monocle. And a mustache.
Wait, that's next episode. Yeah, that's definitely next yep. episode then.
Yeah, we're just gonna have the most ridiculous album art for the X-Men series. That's just what it is. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFcast or email us at basesfcast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFcast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
My name's Tyler, and I host the podcast Too Young for This Hit, where I watch movies I've never seen before with guests who love them. So what kind of movies do we watch? We watch mostly like classics movies, you know, like
Escape from New York,
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure,
Alien,
Wayne's World, Party Time, Excellent,
Aliens,
Smokey and the Bandit,
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
In addition to talking about movies, we also talk about cats. A lot. For pretty much no reason. You can find Too Young for This Hit and tons of other great podcasts at probablywork.com.